walk away, just let you leave without a trace. When I stand here taking every breath with you, ooh, you're the only one who really knew me at all. How can you just walk away from me when all I can do is watch you leave? 'Cause we've shared the laughter and the pain, and even shared the tears. You're the only one who really knew me at all. So take a look.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I'm joined by a very special guest, U.S. Marshal Scott Keller. He is a supervisor deputy of the U.S. Marshals. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
All right. If you get a little closer to the microphone. Tell us a little bit about what a U.S. Marshal is.
So, we work under the Department of Justice. We're a federal agency, law enforcement agency. You know, some of our primary functions, we do judicial security. We do service of process at the federal level. We do asset forfeiture things. And then one of our primary missions is fugitive investigations.
So let me ask you, what is the difference between what you guys do in the FBI?
All federal agencies are
similar in a way.
They're similar, but the types of investigations are dictated by the the United States criminal code that you're responsible for doing investigations for. It's kind of determined through Congress what federal agency is working, the types of crimes. Drug enforcement agency obviously is involved with drug investigations.
Right.
ATF deals a lot of firearm investigations, arsons, things of that nature. FBI does a lot of white-collar crime. They do a lot of terrorism, things of that nature.
So there are at least four, maybe five different agencies that deal with these different kinds of things that are under the jurisdiction of the federal government.
The big ones obviously are, at least under Department of Justice, you have ATF, DEA, Marshal Service, FBI. Those are the big four.
So one of the reasons why you are here, and I asked you guys to come in and talk about between April and June, April 1st and June of this year, you guys rounded up 260 fugitives.
That's correct.
In a sweep that covered southeastern Wisconsin.
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about that sweep.
So we decided to conduct a operation. It was tabbed Operation Big Top. It was a 3-month operation, and it was kind of the lead up to the summer months, as well as we had the RNC coming in, which is currently going on. So we were trying to conduct an operation focusing on violent felonies, and trying to clean up the streets a little bit prior to the kickoff of the summer.
How successful were you?
I would say we were very successful. Like you said, we had 260 arrests. We seized 83 firearms, over $84,000 of U.S. currency. I want to say it was over 55 kilos of illegal narcotics. So we did a pretty good job.
So let me ask you, because you often hear it's part of the debate, in the presidential debate, about how crime is really just running rampant. And is that what you find, that crime is running rampant all over this nation, or is that a bit hyperbole?
I would say that there's a lot of ebb and flow with criminal statistics. You look at crime in the city of Milwaukee currently, and I think they're at about they're down about 30% of the homicides that they were at this year. So that's a good thing, right? But do I think that crime is at an all time low? No. And I think some of the crime, maybe there's not as many homicides. I still think the shootings are somewhat out of control. You see a lot of these young folks getting involved in carjackings, which lead into high speed pursuits, which lead into crashes and, you know, civilian lives being lost. You know, maybe it's not a shooting homicide, but it's the negative is still as impactful.
But, you know, clearly at the root of a lot of this is guns, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
the easy accessibility to guns.
There is, you know, obviously we've got a lot of crime, gun crime laws on the books. Accessibility to guns, sure. We do seize a lot of guns. So, you know, it's not just the guns. It's, you know, narcotics. Again, you know, there's a big problem with carjackings and car thefts. And we tend to have a lot of people that, you know, these young folks when they're stealing cars and they're getting stopped, they're involved in high speed pursuits, which often end deadly.
So let me ask you, this is something that's kind of new, with the young people stealing cars and at the rate that they're stealing them. Clearly wasn't something that was happening 5 years ago or 10 years ago to the degree that it's happening now. This is something that's been added.
Correct. And a lot of times what'll happen is these cars that are stolen will be utilized in other criminal offenses. You know, and then once that new criminal offense is committed, they dump the car, move on to the next one. And it's a cyclical process.
Is there any interstate part to this when they steal these cars? Are they driving across state lines, which creates another hole?
Yeah, I mean, you will see some crossover, especially with, you know, instances of folks from Illinois coming over, Chicago area, coming into Milwaukee. You know, but is that the biggest problem? I wouldn't say.
So when you organize something like what took place April 1st through June, how much time did it take for preparation to even be able to pull something like that off?
Usually the planning stages start several months in advance. I want to say this actually began in probably December. And then obviously as we approach that April 1st kickoff, you know, things start to ramp up even more. But yeah, it's several months.
If you're just joining us, I'm joined by Scott Keller. He is the supervisor deputy of the U.S. Marshals, and he's here to talk about, you know, an operation that they just got out of last month. It ran from April 1st through June, where they successfully were able to apprehend 260, you know, subjects. What does it take to become a U.S. Marshal?
I mean, minimum standards. You're looking at, you know, a college degree, college graduate. Minimum of 3 years of law enforcement or related experience. But they also take into consideration military veterans as well.
So U.S. Marshals are located in different states or all over the nation, or where are you guys located?
We're located in every judicial district throughout the country. So, you know, we, like here in Milwaukee, we're associated with the Eastern District of Wisconsin. And there's also a Western District of Wisconsin, which is based out of Madison. And like I said, we cover the eastern one-third of the state, that covers from the Illinois border up to the UP. And we follow along with the judicial, the courts, so that we have a courthouse here in Milwaukee. There's a district court in Green Bay. So we have offices in both areas.
Let's go to Bill from O'Connor. Well, good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Boy, Earl, I just love the topics you cover. And I'd like to ask your guest a question. Yesterday, I was talking to Wisconsin Concealed Carry about raising the bar in our state and requiring a minimum of 40 hours a year to have a firearm, pistol. Also, complete training with the gun and qualifying and carry insurance. I'd like to ask your guest if he thought that would be an uptick or a help to the gun violence in our country. I'll hang up.
Thank you very much for the call, Bill.
I think, obviously, anytime you're in possession of a firearm, gun responsibility, gun training is the utmost importance. It's always safety. But I, the problem, I think, with the gun violence, it's not a lot of times those who are legally able to have guns. It's those that are not supposed to have the guns according to federal laws, state laws. So the guns being in the wrong people's hands, that I think that's the issue.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Scott Keller. He's a supervisor, a deputy U.S. Marshal, and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Scott Keller. He's the supervisor, deputy of the U.S. Marshals. Let me ask you, we were talking a little bit off the air, and you said you guys do 24-hour protection for the U.S. Supreme Court justices.
That's correct.
Is that automatic, or do they have to require that?
We do protection details. In recent years, it's obviously there's been an uptick on threats, and based on threats and the current environment, that type of protection detail has been more prevalent.
You know, so let's, the people who are listening, they, you know, might have some loved one who might be involved in law enforcement, in that city or town, and they may want to evolve from that. You know, is it an easy undertaking to become that transition? To become a U.S. Marshal?
Well, I could tell you right now, the biggest thing is getting the right time.
Getting in at the right time.
Correct. Yeah. Because, you know, it's not like funding is always an issue, right? So each year we get a budget. Obviously, based on that budget, allows us to hire X amount of new deputies. And unfortunately, the amount that is needed is not always available to us. So, you know, there's been years where we've been very lucky with our budget, have been able to put through numerous classes. Over the last few years, the class sizes are not very large.
Is there an age limit?
So you have to be hired by your 37th birthday. At the federal level with law enforcement, we have a mandatory retirement age of 57. So you have to have a minimum of 20 years for retirement. So if you do the math, 37 would be that age limit.
Yeah, but you can't come in 22, 23.
Oh, you absolutely can. Okay. Yeah. You have to be at least, I believe it's 21 years of age.
Yeah. And so turnover doesn't happen much, I would think, once a person becomes a U.S. Marshal.
No. I mean, you know, I think a lot of times at the federal level, those are sought after positions. There's not a lot of them. And the hiring is hard. So if you have 200 positions available for hiring, you may have 10,000 applicants. So it gets very competitive.
Yeah. Women?
Yes. There is, we have a large contingency of women within the agency and federal law enforcement, as a matter of fact, law enforcement all over. It gender is not an issue.
So what would you want people to know about the U.S. Marshal Service that they don't know about?
Well, U.S. Marshal Service is, you know, obviously we're federal level. We cover 94 districts throughout the entire country. So we have 94 offices. You know, we've got a large variety of things that we do. Our most notable is always our fugitive investigations. You've got the movies, you know, out there.
You're right.
Tommy Lee Jones and The Fugitive. So that's how people generally recognize us for. But there are a lot of things that we do. We do protection details. We have witness security. We run the witness security for protected witnesses. We do asset forfeiture. There's a lot of things that our agency does.
So one of the things I guess is if you're going after a fugitive, it's not something that just happens simultaneously. It takes a lot of research.
Yes, it does. It does.
A lot of finances and all sort. You got to chase somebody all over the nation.
Correct. I mean, we've got fugitives that we find. We just had a fugitive that we had arrested and extradited back from Cambodia.
Wow.
You know, obviously with the bordering Mexico, we have a lot of folks that commit crimes. They flee back home to Mexico. Now you're talking about extradition treaties that you have to deal with. It's a cat and mouse game a lot of times. Some investigations can happen very quickly. But then there's some that, you know, it may take 10 years to find somebody.
Well, that sounds like you never give up.
No. And we always tell everybody, you know, when we're working cases, we go interview family members, you know, give them that the opportunity. Hey, look, they're aware of the warrant. It's best to turn yourself in. We're not going away. It's not like this is just going to get put on the shelf. Yes, we're going to continue to look for you.
So you guys have like a top 10 most wanted?
We have a top 10. So, and that's always evolving. That's created by our headquarters, to make our top list. I mean, they got to be fairly significant crimes, obviously. Long term, there's certain qualifications.
So are you finding younger and younger people on that list? Or no?
I could tell you right now, we're dealing with a lot of younger folks, that we're going out and looking for. There's a lot of, 16, 17 year olds that we're going out looking for some pretty violent crimes, homicides, obviously a lot of shootings. So it's very unfortunate to see, that younger generation.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out to come and spend with us. Congratulations on all the hard work, and all I can say is keep up the good work.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. That's Scott Keller, Supervisor, Deputy U.S. Marshal, Deputy of the U.S. Marshals. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Well, there's some news, breaking news, that's come out over the last day or so. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi told President Joe Biden last week that she and other Democratic lawmakers worried that he's dragging down the party. In an extraordinary candid conversation that came amid mounting pressure on Joe Biden to end his reelection campaign. Now, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 is the number. Not only has Nancy Pelosi, but Chuck Schumer and Jeffries, the Speaker of the House, the Democratic Speaker, Hakeem Jeffries, and some rumblings from former President Barack Obama, all have kind of sent a message that President Biden should step aside. The sounds are growing broader and broader. And, I don't see how President Biden survives what is being talked about and in the halls that they're being and the rooms that they're being that these conversations are taking place, the highest rooms of the Democratic Party nationally are asking for, and in some instances eventually going to demand, that President Joe Biden step aside. Now, I know that is displeasing to many in this audience. That's not Earl Ingram talking. That is the major brain thrust of the National Democratic Party, that the major donors have decided to pull their financial support for President Biden. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi says she is, one Pelosi ally said it was possible that she would press Biden publicly to give up his spot atop the Democratic ticket. What are your thoughts? 844-967-2789. There is no hiding it anymore. This is real. And so what happens next is kind of what is being discussed. Politico reported Wednesday evening that both Schumer and Jeffries had conveyed to Biden that they were deeply concerned about his effects on Democrats' ability to win control of Congress. Pelosi's office in the statement says she had not spoken to Biden since returning to California on Friday and questioned the reporting about her conversation with the president. These sources are not good sources, her spokesperson said. I have to tell you that at this point in time, at this juncture, with a robust Republican convention taking place in the city of Milwaukee that I've witnessed with my own eyes, that a decision is going to have to be made and made quickly. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Hey, I have a question. Where the hell and where is the accountability for both sides? Can't believe I'm saying both sides. On the accountability of a doctor. I mean, usually when something happens, we get a report of a doctor coming out and talking about what happens. Donald Trump getting his ear nicked last week. No doctor, no proof of anything. Here we are, Joe Biden has COVID, but we don't have a doctor that comes out and says anything. Why is it that we, the people, don't get to see this transparency of what the hell is going on?
Well, hey, Tom, I would say this to you. When Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Hakeem Jeffries, the three power brokers for the Democratic Party, you know, whether or not they're not asking to see any doctor's report, these are the brain thrust of the National Democratic Party are almost demanding this. It's something bigger than what the doctors have to say, Tom.
I get that. But the thing is, we the people still should be able to have transparency and knowing what our elected officials basically have a health checkup.
Well,
Donald Trump got supposedly nicked in the ear the other day.
Hey, Tom.
And the thing is,
Tom, I hear you, but this has nothing to do with Donald Trump right now. This is internally. This is the Democratic Party that is laying this groundwork. It has nothing to do with Republicans and Trump. The question becomes whether or not the American people and those who support Joe Biden and who may be frustrated or push back on this, what are their thoughts that inside of the Democratic Party, this is what is taking place?
I understand that. All I'm saying is that there needs to be enough of this private doctoring going on by both sides of the aisle, and people need to be out in public and knowing what the hell it is going on with our politicians, especially at the highest level of government. I don't care if it's Donald Trump or if it's Joe Biden. Donald Trump got nicked in the ear the other day. I want to know what was the doctor's report. We the people are the government, and we should be able to demand that we should be able to see what the hell is going on with whether Joe Biden's cognitive abilities, whether it's whatever, and let us decide.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let me say that we, you know, we are the government. We the people are the government. You know, is a term that sounds good, But, you know, if we the people had the power to force our government to do all the right things, I think our government would do the right things. Let's stop kidding ourselves. On paper, they say we the people are the government. But in my 70 years of living, I don't go around saying that I have control over this government. We can elect people, but we can't watch them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and make them do what's right. And then the only time that we can do anything to challenge them doing wrong is during elections. And they happen so infrequently. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning.
Good morning. I totally agree with you, and I totally agree with it's time for Biden to step down. For the good of the Democratic Party, he needs to step down. I'm not saying he's not cognitive, that he knows what's going on. He does know what's going on. But his ability to lead the people is gone. He's old. We need new blood. We need a spirit that will raise up, and everybody can come and muster all that they have and vote for the people who will get us through this mess. And I don't see him as a person. I love Joe Biden. He did a wonderful, wonderful job. I have nothing bad to say about him. But his time has passed. Now we need new leaders with new blood to carry us through the finish line.
Hey, Susan, that's very well said. And, you know, it doesn't matter because it's not going to be up to him. You know, early on, in this last week, people were saying, well, it's up to Joe to decide. Well, major donors have decided that they're going to stop financially supporting his campaign. That's the decision. The decision has already been made by the major donors. And it does not matter if those of us who want to see him stay, what Susan said is correct. You know? Well, you know, Brendan says, who, what major donors? I will say to you, Brendan, you know, I don't have the name of the donors, but you can read in any newspaper, in any major newspaper, a news outlet, and that is being said. So people can ignore it all they want to and say, this is a conversation that we shouldn't be having. But I can't, I'm not going to deal with who is it, who, what person said it. The reality of it is exactly what I just said. Major donors, the three most powerful Democrats, have clearly stated that they want to see Joe Biden not on the ticket. You know, you don't have to believe that. That's up to you. Let's go to Troy from Mount Horeb. Good morning to you, Troy. You say what?
Well, you've beaten me into submission. Fine. It's time for him to go because nobody important enough is going to stand up for him. I think on day one after the debate, the leader should have come out and said, we don't care. He had a bad debate. He was stunned by the level of lies Trump was throwing at him, and it was hard for him to respond, whatever. But none of that happened, and now I said to my wife yesterday that if he drops out of the race, he should resign the presidency and give Kamala Harris the benefit of running as the incumbent.
You know, Troy, it is not something that we celebrate, saying that Joe Biden needs to step down. That's not what this is about. Nobody's reveling in anything. The main thrust of the Democratic Party believes that if he stays on the ticket, it endangers the Congress, the congressional seats. And that's what's at the root of it. And that's what they see. Let's go to Kurt from Wauwatosa. Good morning to you, Kurt. You say what?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I agree with everything that you're saying. I think it's time for Joe Biden to step down. He was a great president, great guy, served his country well. But the Democrats have an even bigger problem that I haven't heard you really talk about yet, and that's Kamala Harris. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Kamala. I think she's doing a great job as vice president. And I actually think that she would be a good leader. But the fact of the matter is that Kamala is not popular with a lot of people for whatever reason. And I've never really been able to understand why that is. And so if you're going to push Joe Biden, then what happens to Kamala? Does she automatically get the ticket? I don't think that that's what they're going to roll out there.
Well, I would say this to you. There could possibly be a brokered convention. And if that becomes the issue, I think it becomes a really big problem, because the vice president, whoever that is at any given time, is the person who normally moves into that realm. You know, it's rare that that hasn't occurred. And I think if they bypass Kamala Harris, there would be a bigger issue than they could ever imagine. I didn't say it was going to be an easy undertaking, because I didn't call for it. You know, three of the top Democrats in the nation are calling for it. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Lynn from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Lynn. You say what? Lynn.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
So I just want to say that I am very disappointed in Joe Biden, in that he, you know, professes himself to be a person who supports people of color, women in particular, yet consciously made the decision to plummet himself forward. I really have a problem with him having spent his entire life in politics. He's served the highest office, and yet he wants more. So if that is not the prime example of elitism, of superiority, then I don't know what is. I'm very disappointed. I know Kamala maybe has, like, you know, issues with her persona. She's obviously a very powerful woman that turns some people off, as Donald Trump does, but she would be a fine contender, and I don't know why she is not forward.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Holly from Wisconsin. I don't know, probably Rapids. Go ahead, Holly.
Hi, I was wondering if Joe Biden were to jump or to drop out and be replaced, how would that work when there are already ballots that have been sent out in several states?
Well, I mean, clearly they changed the ballots. You know, that's not going to be something that's going to prevent them from moving forward. Thank you very much for the call. Brendan from New Jersey.
Any way you pump this thing and keep pumping the brakes on it, it's going to just, it plays right into Trump's hands. So I get it. He's old. I'd refer everybody to D.L. Hughley's comments on this, how he talked about the fact that if they can vote for a rapist and a felon, I can vote for a crypt keeper. And because the worst case scenario is then Kamala does end up in office if he can't do his job. But we both know she's not going to get the independent votes if she goes to the top of the ticket. And the governor of California is not going to come out of his position this year.
Hey, Brendan, all those things said, the issue is the top three Democrats, again, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Hakeem Jeffries. This is not some local yokel talk show host saying it. It is the top three Democrats who are asking and then going to demand. So it's inside the Democratic Party, has nothing to do with playing in the hands of Donald Trump. It's an internal squabble and issue with the Democratic Party. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Tom from Richland County.
Hey, everyone. Just to let you know, I was a Dreamy guy. I was upset at Kamala's performance at the big debate with went from speech. It should be private.
Hey, your phone is breaking up. Tom, call back. Let's go to Julie from Jackson. Go ahead, Julie.
Oh, hi, Earl. I'm actually feel bad for Biden. His family needs to. It's almost elder care and the media ripping him apart. Now it's sad. The thing that Tom from LA said, I caught the end of it. Accountability is something that this government does not have, and they're never accountable for anything. The sadder thing that's going on this week is that we had, you know, a 20-year-old kid almost assassinate a former president. If it had been a former president, anybody other than Trump, that would be all we would be talking about. And that's frightening, too. How did that happen?
Well, I will tell you, Julie, thank you very much for the call. I've been listening. They've been talking about it nonstop. It's not true to say that they haven't been talking about it, because they have. You know, I don't know what news outlets you've been looking at or listening to, but all of them have spent an enormous amount of time on that issue. Jean from McClare, go ahead, Jean.
Thank you very much, Earl, for taking my call. I've been paying close attention. I've watched what's happened in our country live. You know, it makes us nauseating. But we're going to support any, and I'm independent. I don't belong to any party. I don't like what's going on. I've called and let them know, every top one of them. But if they make this decision and Biden is okay with it, I'm supporting Harris. Harris has been a fighter from day one. She was a fighter in the Senate. She's outstanding. She's brilliant. And look at the women that are fighting. However, if Joe decides to stay, I'm behind him 100%, because we know Joe, we know Kamala, and I don't care if she's green, I'm voting for her. And people better watch that stuff with the, oh, people don't want to support her. She's outstanding.
Hey.
She's a fighter for the people.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call, but it's not going to be up to him. I'm telling you, it's not going to be up to Joe Biden. Eric, go ahead, sir.
Hello. I think we need to remember that the Congress is not the executive branch, and there's going to be competition, but in the end, it's going to be Joe Biden's decision. People from Congress don't have control over the executive branch. There is a separation. I believe he holds the quote-unquote Trump card, in that he can say the only person that's going to replace me will be Kamala Harris, and they can work out the VP. He's also seems to have a little bit of an out with this COVID thing, only because it gives him the thing saying my doctor has told me to step aside and everything. But I've met several activists and spoken with several activists over the last month or two, and they have said they met with President Biden when he was in town, and he was lucid, and he was alert, and he was capable of speaking with them. He's not a vegetable. So this is all a lot of bedwetting.
Well, so Eric, let me
Whatever
ask
turns
you.
Out,
let me ask you. So when, again, the top three Democrats, including Obama and others, are the ones who are bringing this to bear and bringing it out to the public, it's not going to be his decision, because he's going to be nudged into it. Your thoughts?
Here, thank you.
All right, Eric, thank you very much for the call. I thank everybody who made the show go, as always. I'll be back on tomorrow. Up next, Jane Madner, Madner on Air, Jane Madner and Greg Bott at the Republican National Convention in the city of Milwaukee. See you guys tomorrow, and Sandy Williams and I will give more time to this. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.